That means that he's going to call his saints into the air. He will not touch ground. But we know the second phase that Jesus Christ has come back to this earth. First and Second Thessalonians take care of both of that. Both phases of Jesus Christ coming in the air and also coming back to this earth. And what should we be doing? Thessalonians had a lot of questions they want to ask Paul after he set up this church. I think one of the greatest needs for us to understand today is a need that we need to be about God's business and be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ and see what type of church we really are and to see what type of church that we should be. And the example is not looking at other churches. The example is looking in the Word of God. That's where we take our example at. We need to be in tune to the Jesus Christ. I remember back whenever I was a child, an old wooden house that I was raised in, my grandmother had a little radio. And every day at dinner time, whenever we'd come in from the fields or we'd come in to have dinner and get ready to wash your hands, that radio would be on. And one of the songs they'd sing is "Turn Your Radio On, Turn Your Radio On." I don't know if some of y'all have heard that song or not, but all through that house you could hear the radio going and the gospel songs that were being sung at that time and just give you refreshments. Just to hear the gospel song, turn your radio on. And you had to be in tune now. If you didn't have a radio that was in tune to that station, all you'd have is a bunch of static. So I'm afraid now that there are so many Christians this day that don't have their radio in tune with Jesus. And they are missing the joy and the privilege of not living their life that's in tune with Jesus Christ. There's no two ways about it. If you're not tuned in to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are missing the joy and you are missing the privileges that God allows you to have these few days that he allows you to be on this earth. And I can assure you, the Bible says that our life is like a vapor. It is a few days, it appears for a little while, and you know what? It just vanishes away. And a lot of people I know here this hour, as old as I am and older, can truly understand what that really means, that this life, no matter if it's 100 years, it's a vapor and it vanishes away. So make the good that you have of what life that God has given you. The Christian today, I really think we need to get back to the center. Reading these two books of the Bible several times because I try to get a vision of what God wants me to preach on as I begin to look and study in the Word of God. And I kind of entitled this, Back to the Center Pole. Back to the Center. And the center is the Word of God. Before we can extend our church, Isaiah says, before you can extend the tent, extend the cord, it's good to do that and reach out to other people through every type of ministry that we have. But so many times the danger that we have of reaching out, and as other churches maybe is even growing in numbers, we grow out, but we don't grow down. And we need to grow down to people to understand what the Word of God is all about. And that's the danger I really think that we have today, because we're not growing down. A lot of times we'll have the numbers, they'll come for a little while, but they're not being fed right, or they're not being in church right, and not getting the Word of God to go down into their hearts and get that foundation they need, and they're not in tune with that radio of Jesus Christ in heaven, and so they're missing the joy. They don't see the need of coming and worshiping on Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday school and whatever else that we have to offer that we might grow, and for their family and their loved ones and their friends to understand they're missing the joy and the privilege that Jesus Christ has set aside on this side of eternity for everybody that knows Jesus Christ, and for those that don't know Jesus Christ, to make a way that they may be saved and understand that they are saved from something. And that something, it says, they're saved from the place called hell, and then they never have to worry again about that place called hell. So today we're going to be looking into the Word of God, back to the center of God's Word. The greatest need I believe we have today is back to the center of God's Word. So we'll be in these first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I'll read a few verses. Keep your Bibles open. I hope that I can go as far as I can this morning into these 10 verses. But you see what a church that this was at 1 Thessalonian church, and how a church that we should be. And we need to get our example from the Word of God. And it was a very energetic church. They was doing something. I mean, they weren't just coming and sitting and soaking. They was doing something for the Lord. And I think we need to be doing that same thing. And you see what it was, their work of faith and their labor of love and their patience of hope. But there was a church that was an example for the rest of the churches around. A lot of people don't really believe and understand that you have to have a local church, that you need to be a member of a local church, and you need to be part of a local church. If you was not a part of a local church at this time, you would not have the New Testament. You could not read the New Testament. For all these epistles of letters to different local church, you would never know about this letter of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, of Corinthians, of Romans, Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, and all the rest of the church. You would not have this Bible. You sit home without the church, and you would sit home without the Word of God. God intends for us to be together as one. Whenever we come into the body of Christ, He brings us together with love, and He brings us together into fellowship, and He intends for us to be together. But it was also a church there that had the example, and they've done this example here by my illustration. We have example by imitation of what Paul done, and they followed him, and also the illustration that Paul used. And I tell you, it's very, very important for each and every one of us to understand, to look at our senior citizen, to look at the people that knows Jesus Christ. When someone is saved, to follow that good example. And also we find out it was an evangelical church. I mean, they believed in reaching out, and the contents they use and the intents they use. And I'm told the extent they use to go out, as we're talking about right now, our missionary work that we need to be doing. Every part of our fiber of our body should be something about mission work today. And then you see what the church was expected to do. They was expecting church. And it goes back to this same thing. These three loves, or these three words, is the basic of a Christian life this day. So this morning, let's read these first four verses that we might whet our appetite to understand really what type of church. And God, let me see, are we really this type of church? And look into our church and our church life. Am I living an example as old Paul was? Am I an example of the lost people around me? And do I make an example of my life that my family, my loved ones, and my friends can follow my example, and it might lead them to the house of God, that they might hear the Word of God, and the Spirit of God reveals the Son of God through the Word of God, that they may be saved? Am I living that type of life? Are you living that type of life? How about your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, and your friends? Are they living that type of life to be example of the other around them, the one across the street, and then you see the one that's down the road, and the one that's across the country? But also, as we see our missionary journey, we have the people that goes to our missionary work, that we might be able to send them, that they might be the example to follow Jesus, people that follow Jesus Christ. So let us look this morning here in these verses of scriptures. Old Paul had it on his heart, and he was a church planner. He was a great missionary, and he was an example for each and every one of us today. I pray that God has put our hearts together this season, this time of the year. I hope God puts our hands and our hearts together in our family, in our fellowship, in our church, in every one of our personal families today, that we might be serious about what God wants every one of us to do today. Paul, it says, Silvania and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonica, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayer, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brother beloved, your election of God. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we thank you for this great opportunity that your people in the name of Jesus Christ can come to a place, God, that is set aside for us here at this church. Lord, that we might put our hearts and our minds together to understand that we are the church of the Pleasant Hill. We are the called out ones, the saved ones, God, that you're called by your holy and precious name, that we might be the example for others around our life, oh God, for those, Lord, that we meet every day on our workforce and in our families, to know Jesus Christ. How I pray that we might get this down and hard and deep in our heart, God, to understand that we need to get back to the center pole in our life, which is the Word of God. As we see so many things are happening in so many other churches around our country and our world today, and we need to get back to the Bible, get back to the center things, oh God, that you might lead us and guide guide us and direct us that we might be the church, because without the Word of God, we would not know which way to go. But we want to thank you, Lord, for the guidance that we have and for us to look into our hearts and see, as you told us many times, O God, that you're the one and you're the way, O God, and you build your church, O Father. So we want to pray and ask you, Lord, to help us, to let us understand and give us a vision, O God, that how this church should be, that souls might be saved. Even today will be a great time that someone would come, Lord, and give their heart to Jesus Christ and say, I want to be a member of this congregation. I want to be a part of the greatest thing that's happening on this side of eternity, that God has placed people in churches today that they might be able, O God, to go out and win souls, O God. So, Father, we want to thank you and praise you, O God, for the power of prayer that we have in the name of Jesus Christ, for those who are sick, those who are lost of loved ones, and, Father, this day for the working power of Jesus in this church, O God, for the more people that praise, the more power that we have in Christ Jesus. So we thank you and praise you in the precious and the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, and amen, and amen. Did you know that this is a miracle church? Pleasant Hill is a miracle church, but this church that we just read about here in 1 Thessalonians is a miracle church. In fact, all churches' names in the name of Jesus Christ is a miracle church, because of the miracle of God that takes people who are sinners and has no interest. And at one time, he says, you was lost and without God in darkness of this world. But it takes people like you and I that has no interest, don't care about church, don't care about things of God, don't care about the Word of God, don't care about the people of God. But he saves us and he puts us together in power and changes our heart, and he gives us love. And he described for us the Lord, what he does for us in this fellowship we find here in the Word of God, how that we should behave. It's a miracle of God. Pleasant Hill, this is a miracle of God, because God has took you out of this world and they put you into a church, in a body of believers. God done that through what Jesus Christ done. Did you know Pleasant Hill, as we go back to the history of Pleasant Hill, is a history of this church at Thessalonica. We find out that Pleasant Hill also is a miracle church. It was started on a wood pile. Somebody says, we need a church out here in the pines. We need a church right here by the road here of Pleasant Hill. And then you know what? The thought began to take actions, and the action began able to take put on programs, and before long, you know, there was a church being built. The sacrifice was made, and a little old wooden church was made. And that little old wooden church, I'm going to tell you what, well, the Word of God was preached. And I'm going to tell you, at that time, and I know that they was at the center of God's Word. They had a pole over that tent, and that pole went down, and that pole was the Word of God, and the Word of God was preached, and they wouldn't worry about fancy things. They just told people about how they was lost and how they needed to be saved. Just a pure old gospel of Jesus Christ. They didn't worry about buttering up. They didn't need about fancy enough. They didn't worry about hurting someone's feelings. They just told people, if you die in your sins, you're going to go to a place called hell. He says that God has made this place called hell for the devil and his angel. And he says, if you know what, if you die and go to hell, it's not God's fault. And I'm going to tell you, there was many a person that came down that old church. I'm going to tell you, with tears in their eyes, because there was people praying for them. And they found Jesus Christ, and they never was the same. Because whenever you find Jesus Christ, whenever you saved, I'm going to tell you what, he will change your heart and you will never be the same type of person ever and ever again. I'm going to tell you, but you and I, everyone that's in this building in this hour that's saved, I'm going to tell you what, you were the same way. You heard the Word of God, and the Word of God told you that you was a sinner by the Spirit of God and let you know that you was a lost person, and if you died in your sin, you'd go to a place called hell. That's what the Word of God was preached. But so many times I think that we get away from that. But as we look back into the Word of God and see what God has done for this church here, what God done to this church in the Word of God, he'll do for all churches, he'll do for all people, and that is, he will make a miracle church. And every church is a miracle. It takes a miracle to do what God done in my life. It takes a miracle to do what God done in your life, to take a poor, lost, doomed, damned sinner and put that person on the way to a place called heaven and forgive that person for all their sins and wipe that out as they have never sinned, and put thee on the road of glory, and they turn that radio on, turn the radio on and listen to the glory of God, because they're tuned in to the right Jesus Christ. It takes a miracle to do that. All the power and all the miracles in the world could not produce produce one salvation, but Jesus Christ, through his miracle, I'm going to tell you what, the called out one. And what he does, he takes hate out of that old heart, and he puts love in, and it calls people to worship him. I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, you love Jesus Christ, because it says that Jesus Christ shed abroad in our heart the love of Christ Jesus. If you're here today, and if you've accepted this Savior, do you understand what he done for you on Calvary's cross? And if you accepted that Jesus Christ saved you, and you asked him to, and he saved you, I'm going to tell you what, he put a love in your heart. I'll be there into eternity, because it is a miracle of God. A genuine church is a miracle church. He says, you know what, the church had roots. And this church we talk about, Thessalonians, had roots going all the way to the back to the book of Acts, where it was established at when Paul made his missionary journey. But I tell you, not only this church in the Bible, but I'm telling you, this church at Pleasant Hill and every church has its roots back in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, because what God says in the book of Acts, that he was going to build his church. Now, Billy Graham, you know what? Whenever Billy Graham was young and in his prime, I'm going to tell you what, man, hundreds of people was coming to know Jesus Christ. He was going from city to city with great crusades. And I'll tell you, one of these crusades he went to, there was a critic. Do you know that Billy Graham even has critics? Whenever he was preaching the Word of God, it kind of helps me keep going, knowing that I got critics. So Billy Graham had critics, and I tell you, everybody has critics. But you see, they said that when they heard that he was coming, they sent him notice that, oh, Billy Graham's coming to this town, and he's going to set the church back 200 years. And old Billy Graham, you know how your critics, they always let you know how you preach, and they always let you know. I have a lot of them. They always let it make sure that it gets back to me. They don't like what I say or how I preach, you know. And they got back to old Billy Graham. He said, I'm sorry if you thought I was putting the church back 200 years. I'm going to try to put the church back 2,000 years. And that's exactly what every church ought to understand. We ought to get back 2,000 years. The church at Pleasant Hill, you know, as it grew in numbers, there's also a danger of every church, as I said, as it grows in numbers. And Isaiah said, enlarge the place of thy tent, let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not the length of thy cord, but strengthen thy stake. Again, we need to understand and get down in the Word of God. The church expands now, but they should also reach down, but not just reach out. Yes, we should reach out to every lost person they are, but we have a danger of not reaching down into the Word of God. The danger of have the numbers there, but we won't have no depth, and they won't be around long, and they'll be leaving. When we extend the borders of our tent, we better check the center pole, because I said, get back to the center, and that will be the whole theme of these two books that I've studied myself, where God lets me bring a message or not, is get back to the center pole. And I'm going to tell you what, the center pole is the Word of God in my life. It's the Word of God of this church. And I pray, God, that you'd never let the Word of God leave. Keep on keeping on, and keep this Word of God how it's been all the time at the center of people's life. It's the center of this church. And I'm going to tell you what, it is the center of the universe. And these first two books, the first and second Thessalonians, see, he says, get back to the center. Because why? Of the doctrine that we need to understand. It's in the Word of God. The doctrine called the Bible is inspiration, Word of God. The Bible tells us the true faith comes from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But it's also the doctrine of the work, what Jesus Christ done on Calvary's cross, that nobody could be saved, but Jesus Christ paid the price for each and everybody that had ever been saved. So it's also the doctrine of Christian love today. Keep that in mind, the doctrine of Christian love. So many times our churches are like somebody that has pneumonia. When you have pneumonia, they're just a few cells of your lungs that's breathing. The rest of the cells just laying there dormant. They're not doing their job. So many times our churches today has this congested lung and just maybe a few cells that's doing the work. And it get back to a vibrant church where everybody is doing the breathing, that everybody is doing the work, not just a few. As we see this church at Thessalonian today, I want to thank God for the people of Pleasant Hill. Thank God for what we have here at this church, for the past that we have here at this church. Today, I'm going to tell you, it would never be possible to have what we have today if it weren't for the past. And people now we find out they're saved. They come and you worship and you serve. Thank you, Lord, for the faithful people that we have. So many of our senior adults that we read on Wednesday night, their names that cannot be with us, they cannot come. But you see, they want to come. And thank the Lord for the past that they worship and they served. And I'm going to tell you, it's for every one of us. They wanted to come. Thank you, Lord, for the ones that come and serve Jesus Christ and see the need of serving Jesus Christ. See the need of worshiping Jesus Christ. As old Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak became I weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by means save some. Be whatever that God wants you to be, that people might be saved. Go out and witness to them and tell them all about Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, be thankful for what we have at Pleasant Hill. I got to thinking about this church, and this church is a miracle church, and this church has stood on the Word of God, and this church has been through some problems and difficulties, as all church is, because Satan will not let it stay idle. He will do all he can to do what he can against this church. But thank the Lord for the people of this church. Thank the Lord for the pastors of this church at Pleasant Hill that stood on the Word of God. Brother Darrell, thank you for Brother Darrell that he stood on the Word of God at this church for many years. And Brother Owen, he stood on the Word of God for many years. And I could just keep going on back for what the people and the preachers done here at this church, that we might have a time this morning that you're able to sit in a church this hour where air conditioned. And I tell you, we have the technology here that most churches don't even have. We have the padded pews and a beautiful building that we might come and worship God. But I'm going to tell you, the miracle is not in the beautiful building that God give us. The miracle's in the Word of God, and the miracle's in Jesus Christ that made it possible. It's not the building that makes the miracle. It's Jesus Christ that makes the building. And Jesus Christ, he's the one that we need to turn to this hour. And thank God what he has done for us in this past. Thank God for the people and the leadership that we have in the church. And oh, Paul's doing the same thing here to the church of Thessalonica about their energetic church. And are we in energetic church, or do we need to make improvements by the Word of God as we look into the life of these people and see if our life matches, our life takes the example and imitation of these people that Paul was so proud of today. Thessalonica, the gospel's being preached and people's being saved. And I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ was glad at that time, but the devil was mad. Anytime that people saved, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to make the devil mad. A miracle church, but not only a miracle church, I'm going to tell you what, it was a mighty church. And I believe there was been errors in this church. This has been a mighty church because people realize that they need to be in one mind and one accord. We come together. I tell you what, there's people say, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. You need to get your mind right, because there's only one reason that we're here, and that's to worship Jesus Christ. It's not for what I want. It's not for what you want or what I say. I'm going to tell you what, it's here to worship Jesus Christ. And if anybody comes for any other reason except to worship Jesus Christ, you are coming for the wrong reason. It's not what we want. It's what Jesus Christ wants. And he wants us to be about a father's business as he was while he walked on this earth today. As you think about this mighty church, as we look at the marks of this mighty church and also this miracle church, as you think about this, as I've been preaching about the second coming a couple of times, but the believers now, they was ready here at this church at Thessalonica. They was ready for the Jesus Christ to come back, and some believe that he was already had come back. So he answered some questions there about the second coming of Jesus Christ. But the mark of these people, and we look and see if it's a mark in our life today. And it was a very energetic church. They was busy. They was working for Jesus Christ. Are we doing anything for Jesus? Are we making it count for Jesus Christ? The hours that we put in and the money we put in a collection plate, are we using it for Jesus Christ? Are we an energetic church? Are we spend most of our time on what we want to do? The evidence is in as we look at this. In verse 3, here's the evidence of what the people was doing there at that church. It said, remember without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. We see these three words, faith, hope, and love. And every time you find these in the New Testament, they always hinge together. They're always there together for a reason, because they are the basics ingredients of the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abide a faith, hope, and love, or that is charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love or charity. Christian life that we live today is based on these three. These are the three basics of our life today. These three basic things. Why? Because you see, our life is lived in 3D. You have a past, you have a present, and you have a future. A lot of you remember when you used to go to a movie and they call it 3D, and you had to get in little old glasses and put on. Well, you see, you're living your life in 3D. You're living your life in that past and also in the present this hour, and there's a future out there somewhere. The past and the present and the future, all three takes care by faith in Jesus Christ of our love today. I want you to look about the past. Now, the past, you and I, we had problem with sin because I knew that I was a sinner. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, this past takes care of that sin problem. And by faith is what happened to it 2,000 years ago. I want to tell you what, Jesus Christ died on the cross and he paid the sin for me. He paid the sin for you and he paid the sin for the whole world. And all we have to do is by faith in that past, reach out into the past and then we accept what Jesus Christ done and claim what he done. He paid for my sin debt in the past. I had a past in Christ Jesus, but it's took care of on Calvary's cross. Well, how about my faith now? Takes part here now of my faith. And we reach back and claim what Jesus done. But I have a present. I'm living here every day. I'm living this day. And today I have a present. Well, what takes care of my present? Love, faith, and then it says love, love. Well, what's the problem of love? The problem of love today is called people don't know what love is. That's the problem. It takes care of our love this day because there's so many conflicts in families today. Did you know there are conflicts around the world today? But there are conflicts in a lot of people's heart going on right now. If they're not tuned in to Jesus Christ, if they're saved, they don't have that radio station. They're not listening to the Word of God. They're not listening to the things of God. And there's conflict in their life. They don't know what love is. They deny the Word of God. They deny the teaching of the Word of God. And they don't know what love is. There's conflict. And they don't know, but Jesus Christ, when he comes into your heart, I tell you what, every one of us born in the same way because we had a fallen nature and there was hate in every one of our heart, but Jesus Christ takes the hate out and he puts the love in that you have never understood before in your life. Whenever you have the love of Christ shed abroad in your heart, it's a different type of love that you ever had. Now that you love people not because of what they do for you, but you love people because of what Christ has done for that person and what Christ has done for you. Many times we ask the question, how you doing? I'm doing better than what I deserve. And that is absolutely true. Why are you? Because of the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Our present today, to know this love that Jesus Christ has put in each and every one of us today. What we need now is love, love, more love today. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. And we only get this love in just one way, and that is through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. When you turn that radio dial and you dial into Jesus Christ and you start living your life according to what Christ says for you to do, and you dial into the Word of God, and you get back to the center pole of your life is the Word of God, I'm going to tell you, you'll enjoy, and you'll have more joy, and you'll have more happiness than you ever thought possible in your life today. People don't know love, and people don't understand love, but I'm going to tell you, this present takes care of this because of the love. And then you see, we have now the last thing here, we have a future, and that's a future hope. It says hope. It's not hope for something that you don't know is going to happen or not, but it says there in Titus 2:13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the hope that I'm looking for. You see, when dark and difficult days come, I'll tell you what, when your family starts falling apart, when you go to a doctor and this doctor can't help you, and you think maybe if I go to another doctor, I'll get some help, and maybe if I take this medicine here, I'll get better. But you see, you get worse, and seem like you just lose all hopes of mankind. You lose all hopes of what this world can offer you. And then slowly and gradually, you know what God does for you? He starts letting heaven get more beautiful to you all the time, and you see this world, you know, it starts receding away, and heaven heaven opens up. And you know what? Before long, as I think about Miss Maddie, all the surgery she went through and the difficulty and the pain she went through, do you know what? God opened up for heaven, and then she had that glorious hope where there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more separation, there'll be no more this, there'll be no more that. Why? Because Jesus Christ has made us a hope. This hope is in Christ Jesus. I'm looking for that blessed hope, and I do believe before this world and through gets through with every one of us, we're going to be looking for that blessed hope. We won't be looking for a doctor. We won't be looking for our family members. We won't be looking for more money. We won't be looking for no hospital. We won't be looking for people to pat us on the back. We won't be looking for no encouragement. We'll be looking for that blessed hope as an appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, there'll be no more of what we have in this earth today. I'm going to tell you, we have a future, and that future hope is in Christ Jesus. I say these three are the commodities of life. These three is a commodity spiritual life that we live today. But you see, you can't see any of these. You can't see these three. We can't see faith, we can't see hope, and we can't see love. But we see the action that it causes. We see the action that it causes because, you see, the work of faith, James says, as we start over again, the work of faith, James says 2:17, even so faith, if it have not works, it is dead being alone. Ephesians 2:10 says about it, for we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God have before ordained that we should walk in them. We see the evidence now of what he's talking about. It should be a desire on every child of God. If a person is saved, they should be a desire on their heart that they should want to walk with Jesus Christ. They want to be in tune with Jesus Christ with that radio. They want to make sure whenever they stretch forth of that great tent, their center pole is founded in the Word of God, that they won't waver around. Because you see, whenever you stretch that tent out, you're more apt now for the wind to blow. You're more apt for the storms to come. And you see, you better make sure them pegs are down deeper and that cord is tighter when you have that tent. But also make sure the very first thing is, and make sure that center peg, that center pole is deep down into the earth. And finally, we find this is the center pole of the Word of God, and we need to make sure it's deep down in our heart, that we won't have to worry about the storm cloud comes or the wind blows, that we're safe and secured in the Word of God and what Jesus Christ says. It says a work of our faith, the desire of our heart, but also the labor of love. Labor there, it means to beat the chest. Labor to the point of exhaustion. A true love of toiling and working so very, very hard. You just labor and labor. I'm going to tell you what, you can labor and not love, but you cannot love and not labor. And that is a danger of many people today. They're laboring, but they're not loving. But I can assure you one thing. If you love Jesus Christ today, and you've been called by Jesus Christ, and you know that that blood has been shed for you, and you can understand that Jesus Christ loved you on the cross, and you can say, thank you, Lord, for loving me while you was going through that terrible time on the cross, while they was driving those nails into your hand and those nails into your feet, you can say, thank you, Lord, for loving me while they was pressing that thorn down upon his head. You can say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Whenever they lifted him up and dropped him into that hole, you can say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. And yet he said he had thirst and he had no water. You can say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Out there in that sun, whenever Jesus Christ wanted to breathe as bad as anybody ever wanted to breathe that last breath, to whom you and I might have to take one day, but Jesus Christ, that last breath, he had to shove his feet down on those nails and pull those nails in his hand, because he had to lift himself up that he might get one more breath. And you say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. I'm going to tell you, when you understand that, I'm going to tell you what, you will love Jesus Christ. And if you love Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what, you will labor. And they won't nobody have to beg you to do what you're supposed to do for Jesus. It all comes down to loving Jesus. I think that's the key to the whole Christian life, is just loving Jesus. It's just loving Jesus. There's two examples in the Bible. One in the New Testament, the prodigal son. You know, he went off to a far country, found himself, says, I know what I do. I'll even go back to my father. The father met him, hugged his neck, killed a fatted calf, put a robe on him, put shoes on his feet and a ring on his finger, and they had a great party for him. And then the elder son, he said, I've been working here all these years, and you ain't never killed nothing for me. You know what was wrong with the elder son? He was laboring, but he was not loving. He was laboring, but he was not loving. I can tell you one in closing a little bit more. I got about one-fourth of my sermon over with. I need about 2 more hours, but anyway. In the Old Testament, one of the greatest example of that is, you remember old Jacob, the love story of Rachel. Went to see old Uncle Laban, and he fell in love, first sight of Rachel. And I want to marry that good-looking thing. And Uncle Laban said, yeah, you can, but you're just going to have to work for her for 7 years. You know what the story is in the book of Genesis? It's not a story of the truth. He worked 7 years. You know what the Bible says? You look it up. It said it seemed like just a few days. Why? Because he was laboring and he was loving. And it seemed like a few days. But you see, old Laban, he tricked him again. He said he gave him the wrong woman. He gave him Leah. And then you see he had to work 7 more years to get his one that he really loved. But you see, he done that. Why? Because he was loving while he was laboring. You think it's hard to do what God has called you to do? Well, are you loving? He said, you know, it's just like a few days. And I can assure you, this Christian life, no matter what the world throws at you, it's just a few days. Loving Jesus. Loving Jesus. Thank you, Lord, this day. I don't know where the time went. But I guess I said what God wanted me to say. I didn't get to my thoughts, but I hope I got to God's thoughts about the church and about our church and this church and about each one of you. As we come for a song of invitation, I say the time is out, but I look into the Word of God and see if that center pole is right where it should be. You know, I think so many times we get off and our center pole, you know, is not in the center any longer. Get back to the center. Get back to the center of the Word of God. The greatest famine we have in our country this day is a famine of the Word of God. You know, there are a lot of people, a lot of kids that I see on television, they don't even know what Christmas is all about. They don't know what Christmas is. And why do we have Christmas? They don't have no idea. You know why? The Word of God would tell them what it's all about. That's the day that our Savior came into a little baby thing and was born into this world. But there are people who don't know that. Why? Because they're off center. Now, I think our whole country is off center. You need to get back on center today. Center of your life is the key is loving Jesus Christ as we should.